Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. God's call is a gentleman's knock at the door of our hearts. May I come in? Will you follow me? The Lord asks. That soft knock is what Jimmy Yamada Jr. heard while he was running a successful business in the bustling city of Honolulu. When God asked, "Will you, Jimmy, will you start a church for the homeless?" In his book, God's Hand in the Life of a Pastor, Jimmy Yamada Jr. rivetingly describes his journey. It's a journey of God speaking and a journey of God working in his heart and Jimmy processing what God is saying, has said, and taking steps of faith forward to do something about it. And that's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to have that interface, that moment of intervention, as it were, in our lives, in your life, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, for you to know that God calls you too, that God speaks to you, dear one. And he calls you to himself. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, Jesus who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, who has worked and moved powerfully in the life of Jimmy Yamada Jr., indeed, can and will work in your life as well. Jimmy Yamada Jr. is the chief executive officer of A1A Electrician Incorporated. He's also the founding and senior pastor of Cedar Assembly of God in Honolulu, Hawaii. He's the author of God's Hand in the Life of an Electrician and How to Thrive in an Economic Disaster. Jimmy received his engineering degree from the University of Hawaii at Manoa. He's married to Diana. They have 3 grown children and 2 granddaughters. Jimmy, welcome back to our program.
Good to be here, Danny.
Now, in the process of writing, in the process of God's Hand in the Life of a Pastor, and then subsequent to that, even number 4, God's Hand in the Life of a Dreamer, which we will talk about in our next program, you went through a physical malady, unexpected. What happened?
Well, Danny, I had what they call a pituitary tumor. It was the size a little smaller than a golf ball, about an inch, and it was a really great experience. I would highly recommend anyone who wants to draw close to God to go through some kind of tumor.
Now, well said in customary fashion, in the trademark way of Jimmy Yamada.
Yes.
Well, take us deeper. What do you mean by that? Why? Why would someone want to experience having a tumor or something of that kind in their life? It seems so contradictory.
Yeah, well, I think God comes into the situations when we are at our lowest point. And I remember we went to the emergency this particular Monday because I had symptoms that I knew something was wrong. So the emergency, the doctor actually cried and she told me that, "You know, I'm so sorry. I have to tell you that you have a pituitary tumor." And then she started crying, and I said, "Oh, that's okay. Don't worry. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven, so it doesn't really matter." You know, I was trying to help her feel better. Well, later on the week, Friday, that was Monday, I discovered I had a pituitary tumor. So then I start trying to make appointments. I start reading up on it. And then that Friday, I was preaching a message to my leaders. Life is short, and you don't know how long Pastor Jimmy's going to be here and Pastor Derek's going to be here. And then I'm closing my service, and I feel the dizziness coming on. And I realized I should sit down because that's my, you know, that's my safety, right? Except that I was not finished with my closing in the message. So I needed to try to finish, but then I just collapsed. And so during that whole ordeal, from that time to driving home with my wife, Diana, and I said, well, you know, my prayer was that God take you first, but you know, maybe it might be me. And we both start crying, and so that day I had a spirit soup instead of my normal vegetarian. So it's kind of like, you know, when you go through these difficult times, then my mind was on God during the whole, you know, episode. So it was really a good experience, and I know, you know, many people were praying, but I said, Lord, I just prefer I go through it, because when I went through it, it was like God is on your mind 24/7, almost, not exactly, but because it's like, okay, God, okay. And then, you know, it's like, you know, 10% bargaining. Okay, God, I'll do anything. You know, we go through that, right? So but I think the key thing is that the mind is focused on God. And so, you know, hearing his voice, that's the...
What was the most difficult part of the getting the news, going through the process of diagnosis, and then even some of the treatments that you had to go through? What were some of the most difficult moments?
Probably waiting. That was... just waiting for the next step, waiting for the doctors, waiting for, you know, the next appointment. But it wasn't really super difficult. It was like, okay, God, you know, you're in control. You know, then all the verses come to life, right? You're in control. I know you're going to work out good. You know, and then I told my wife, you know, if I die, we're not suing the doctors. You know, if the doctor makes a mistake, we're not suing the doctors. God's in control. If he takes me, then... And so then Diana got nicer to me for a season. So that was really good.
How did you feel as a father?
Oh, well... You know, heaven is a place, to me, heaven is a real place. So one of my verses, you know, is what Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I think that too often we're afraid to go to heaven. We want to go to heaven, but not through death. Mm-hmm. But I think Bonhoeffer said something to the effect that, how do we know that death is not the last stop on this great train ride towards heaven, or something to that effect? So for me, it's like it's a real place. We know that, and every experience that we can make that come alive and make it become more real, I think, is a positive experience. So it really wasn't too difficult to go through it, because my faith was pretty strong. And I wasn't, oh, woe is me, and I wasn't, oh, I might die, and oh, I might get injured or incapacitated, or, but of course, it never happened. So I was on this side of the the operation.
In the context of the Lord speaking to you and putting on your heart a desire, a yearning, a passion, and even the grace to be able to write as you have written. The words, the stories, the illustrations that you've given, the research that you've done for your books, How did that all come to bear, and was it galvanized even through this process?
Well, first of all, Danny, I think only you think that anything in there is really good.
No, books, that's so. Not true. I do too.
Okay, you and Suzanne, that's
yes,
why both of you are here.
That's right.
Well, I think life becomes more real the closer you get to death. So I think, I have a mother who is close to death, and we talk about it often. You know, she says, oh, I want to go home. And initially people thought that, you know, they would tell her, Mom, you are in your home. But it was like, I know what she's talking about. She wants to go home to be with, you know, with God, right? So things just become more real as we have a sense that heaven is real, death is real, Jesus is real. So the more we think about, the more we live life with people and see the difficulties in their lives and recognize that we have the answer, even the difficulties in the United States today and in Hawaii. And, you know, it's like we don't have the solution, but God has the solution and Jesus is the answer. So so some of those things, as I preach, and I speak, it's like, you know, I'm speaking to me. I don't know if anyone gets anything else. So it becomes a little bit real.
Danny, if I may just add, and Jimmy, you correct me, but one of the things that I love so much about Pastor Jimmy Yamada is, in my opinion, he lives basically every minute of every day, and I believe I can say Diana as well, as a team. Jimmy with Jesus, Diana with Jesus. So their whole mindset is that he and Jesus are living out this day. So he lives his life expectantly, that he knows that God's in control. He knows God's in his heart, and they're just a team. So whatever they're experiencing, he's experiencing with God, Diana's experiencing with God, and what a beautiful team Jimmy and Diana are. It's quite remarkable, in my opinion.
Well, and in the midst of all of this, you know, there, he's going to write about, and in the process of, as he has done, he's written about his book, God's Hand in the Life of a Pastor, God's Hand in the Life of a Dreamer, and it's here in front of us. We can read it, we can touch it and feel it, but to be ministering to a group of our population that some may feel they may not feel as positive about doing that because of the trials that come with it. Mm-hmm. And you have, Jimmy, you and Diana have ministered to the poor. And when we come back from our break, that's what I'd like to spend time talking about. God's hand in the life of a pastor. Successful in business, booming in business. It's a bustling city in Honolulu. Things are growing, and then God interjects. He says, in your life, you know, I want you to go plant a church. Plant a church for the poor. That's the story of Jimmy Yamada. He's here with us in studio with Suzanne Maurer, myself, and with you, dear one. When we come back, hey, the Lord has high hopes for you because of Christ. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, that's right. It's one of those things where someone would say, you know, you tell me what it's like to face death, to know that you have a terminal condition. What happens with your faith? What happens in the way that you see yourself? You know the right answers. You know what the scripture says. You know how you should respond. But really, how do you respond? What comes out from the inside at that moment? You see, there are times in our lives when things become crystal clear because we are galvanized in the process of reality to apply the spiritual reality to the reality that we live and then live that out. I believe it's a catalytic moment but for a person who's going through it, and of course for those who are around. And we have someone with us in studio. Jimmy Ahmad is with us today along with my co-host Suzanne Maurer. We're glad that you're with us. You're listening to the Good Life Radio program. You can find out more about our show at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And you can find out more about Jimmy and access his books at jimmyyamadajr.com. Jimmy, in the past 8 years, you've ministered to the poorest of the poor, you know, and have seen lives transformed. Now, many have come to salvation, they've come to know Christ, but are satisfied living just the way they are. With all your teaching, preaching, ministering, you write in your book, God's Hand in the Life of a Pastor, that when God showed up and did something, then there was transformation. What do you mean by that?
Transformation is what I think Jesus would call the Zoe life, new life, going from the old life to the new life, whatever the new life looks like. A full life, life in Christ, love, joy, peace, having patience, you know, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, you know, just a fruitfulness, self-control. So the Zoe life, the complete life, when people can come from me to others, when they can come and say, I love me, I am my own God, and they, you know, they can come and say, I love God, I need God. So that's transformation. Mm-hmm. What I would look at transformation.
Tell me a little bit about when you started Cedars. Is it growing, Jimmy? Is there some go out, some come in? Is it transitional church?
Yeah. yeah, because we service the homeless,
yes,
the poor. We do have what I call my key servers or our, you know, the core. The core, we have about 40 or 50 that we look at as core. they live in housing or public housing or Section 8 housing or rooms. They have rooms. Some got there later on. Some already had them. So not all are homeless, but that's our base.
Yes.
And then because the homeless come through, the homeless are transient. Some come through and leave. Some come and stay. Some come back. So it's the church is really not growing in numbers, but it's growing in depth of spirituality. That's what we see.
That's what I'm hoping
for. So we see transformation in the lives of people that are our core. And we also see some transformation coming through our dream center. We have a dream center where people can come and live in. So we help them get back to work. So we see growth in, as you know, that in that way. And what we don't see a whole lot of, but I know is happening, is there's growth in people being reunited with their family because they're mm-hmm. talking about family. Mm-hmm. They'll reunite with mothers or brothers and reconnect with the family. And then sometimes the family comes mm-hmm. to the church to see what's going on. And then, they're back at their home church. So transformation is not a numbers thing. It's about the heart
changing.
Right. Life changing for heart. Towards Jesus and towards others. Mm-hmm. Giving. When they can start giving, I think that's the ultimate grace that shows up.
Exactly.
How did you respond when the Lord asked you to start a church? Would you start a church for the homeless?
Oh, he didn't ask me that. He tricked me. He had the Korean pastor, Pastor Duk Won Kim, invite me. So back up a little bit. Surfing the Nations was looking for new property to do the feeding. This church, Hawaii Cedar Church, opened up their facilities to Surfing the Nations. I came along in that year, January of 2007, and I was doing a Bible study for Surfing the Nations. Some of the church leaders, one of the church pastors came to listen. And then eventually they invited me, because they didn't have one or they lost their pastor. They invited me to preach on Sundays. And so, I felt, the Lord say, try it. So I tried three Sundays, and that's what I said. I'll do three Sundays, March 25th, April 1st, April 8th, which was Easter in 2007. And then I'll see what I feel. Well, that was the beginning of, the ministry, or just a continuation. So God really tricked me. He said, just do this for a little while.
And Jimmy, forgive me, but at that time, were you still worshiping at the Korean church?
I was never at the Korean church. I would go to First Assembly. My home church is First Assembly, Pastor Ko. I still call Pastor Ko my pastor.
Yes.
I would go to service, okay. And then I would run away to I had stopped teaching at First Assembly, so I would run away to preach, because their service was, I think, was it late? 11 o'clock, I think, at that time?
Yes.
Was later.
Yes, and then you had a lunch.
Yes, yeah, so, that's 11 o'clock.
Okay.
We talk about homeless, and we think about poor. Who are the poor?
Well, Ezio Vosso says that those in poverty, there's a spiritual poverty, there's a relational poverty, there's a material poverty, and then there's a motivational poverty. So anyone that has any one of those four. Now, the ones that we normally say are poor are the homeless that have material poverty. So we call them the poor. But what we also realize, the Christians realize, that the people without God are spiritually poor. The poor that have no housing or homes, they're also motivationally poor. But they actually are relationally rich. They have friends. They have relationships. So they're not, totally poor. So that's the four categories of poor. And then in my book, I talk about five groups of poor.
Explain that.
Just for sake of being able to put our fingers on you know, a group of people, I looked and I said, well, there's a homeless group, which is obvious. There's another group that is poor, but they have housing, public housing, or they're the ones that living in their, you know, with their relatives. So they have housing, but they don't really have a home, right? Mm-hmm. But they have a, you know, and they can be living there for years. And then the third group is the what I call the middle class that are moving into poverty. The middle class has been destroyed over the last 30 years, especially over the last 15 and, 5 and 10 years, just utterly devastated. The numbers speak for themselves. And then there's the college poor, the college graduate who has high expectations and they can't find the job, so they got to be a waiter somewhere, or they're at some kind of low level paying job. There's two kinds of college groups. One is the one that just graduating, and then the other group, college group, is the one that lost their job and they're 55, 60 or so, cannot retire, don't have enough to retire because of the dollar, being devalued, inflation, things is getting more expensive. And so they're also the fourth group of poor, along with so they're college graduates, right? And then the fifth group is the dying poor, which is all of us.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is somewhat of a bombshell type of question, but you wrote about it in the book. I mean, you're here, so let's talk about it. Can the poor problem be solved? Can it be solved? Is there hope?
Well, from my view, it's not a problem to be solved. I don't think Jesus looked at the poor as a problem to be solved, but it's a group who Jesus said that the poor you will always have.
Exactly.
So they're a group that God gives to us to see how we handle, do we love him? So I think Isaiah 58, he talks about the poor and caring for the poor, and don't just talk about loving God. If you don't love the poor, you don't love God. You cannot take care of the poor. So I think the poor is a group that God tests our love. God says that, Jesus said that, in the last days, people will abandon their faith, and because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. So the homeless bug people and the love of the Christians looking at them grow cold, because the poor become, because they're so destitute, they do wicked things. Out the door goes agape love. So Jesus is talking to the Christians. Will the agape love, because the Christians are the only ones with agape love, will the love of most, the agape love of the Christians, grow cold, or will they not? Jesus says our love will grow cold. So I think it's a huge thing to be able to express our love by giving or helping and mentoring. And it's not just the homeless. It's the five groups, and there's more groups, more groups, right?
It will come to a point where, because as you talk about it, someone may be listening and saying, well, I'm in one of those, or I'm in more than one of those. And here's the thing. No one else knows that I'm in one of those. And I'm not at a place where I can admit that I'm in one of those. But I'm in one of those. What kind of hope in the midst of life's process? And even so, when you talk about agape love or our hearts growing cold, is there some kind of connection with my inability to do that, to show that love for someone because of some kind of deficiency or feeling of deficiency or want within myself? As we process this, as you've helped us to process this in your book, God's Hand in the Life of a Pastor, let's talk of these things when we come back. Dear one, hey, that's one of the things about the program with Suzanne, with Jimmy. We want to talk about the marriage, but we don't want to just gloss over it, and put frills around it. We want to talk about it and see ourselves in it and see what God and hear what God is wanting to do in and through us in the process. It's all a process, and God is with us in it. Jimmy Amato will help us more with it when we come back. Stay with us.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Now, you would think someone who's called from being successful in business, and still is, but being called in the middle of a trajectory of growth, increase, blessing, and then being called to start a church for the homeless, you think, wow, you know, that's an amazing thing for a person to be able to do, to, number one, to hear God, and number two, to obey God, and then to be here now in studio talking about it and having written a number of books and speaking all over, and the ministry expanding in ways, perhaps, you know, he might not have even seen the possibility of that happening, but God did. How does God work in the heart of a person to develop and cultivate a receptivity in that person's life. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm here, Danny Yamashiro, here with you with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host, and our guest today, Jimmy Yamada. Jimmy is the author of the book, God's Hand in the Life of a Pastor, a number of other books as well. You can find out more about him at jimmyyamadajr.com. Jimmy, tell us what happened to you after you experienced your own personal D-Day.
What happened to me? I think the first thing I did was to love my wife. One of the early things I remember was to stop asking her the question, why? Why this? Why that? How come this? How come that? Another thing that I did was I started to wash dishes a little bit, just a little, right? So I think the first thing was I always wanted to love my wife. And God enabled me to love her in a manner in which I dreamed of. I always dreamed of doing, but never could.
June 6, we're taking a few years back, taking the steps a few years back. June 6, 1993. What happened on that day?
Oh, I had read a book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And Kevin Asano gave that book to me. I went into church. I read about three-fourths of it maybe. And after I read that book, I remember thinking, wow, there's a God. Because I was an atheist before that. So I went into church, First Assembly of God. I didn't hear the message. But then at the end, they took an altar call. And I felt that altar call was for me. So I raised my hands, I stood up, I went up, and when Diana and Lisa finally looked up, because altar call, this says bow your heads, they finally looked up, and they said, oh, wow, look, Dad's up there. So that was, I mean, for me, that was a transformational moment, because my whole life changed. But I'll say, go get the God's Hand in the Life of an Electrician book. My whole life changed.
Now, you learned some lessons. The Lord brought you in touch with certain friends, one of whom is the founder of Surfing the Nations. What's his name, and how has God taught you some significant lessons in your relationship?
Tom Bauer, I met him surfing. God connected us. Go read the book. It's in it's scattered throughout the books, but I think the main thing that there's many lessons, but the main thing that I would give him credit for is Itse Vosso talks about a father, in a sense. Who is your spiritual father on earth? I would say Tom Bauer is my spiritual father, because he taught me about loving the poor. So I blame him for all of my troubles today. I remember him telling a story that he would go and visit people and visit in their homes. And this one guy that he went to visit, and he would do this regularly. He had, you know, he was a junk pile guy. He had all kinds of papers and junk all over the house. You could hardly walk, and he would have to walk through. And there were thousands of silverfish in his house. And I remember listening to Tom and thinking, this guy is crazy. And, you know, he actually loved it. And he actually loved the guy. So God, again, tricked me into the poor ministry, because then I followed Tom, right, to the Korean church, and then they asked me to preach, and then eventually Tom, they moved their ministry, and I was stuck there. But God is a good God. If you're in a condition and you think you're stuck somewhere, or you're doing something that you got tricked into doing, God is causing all things to work together for your good. So that's what he says. So you just got to look for the good, right? Where is the good? Where is the good?
if someone is going to be really honest with themselves, they're going to be very convicted at this point. Because they know that they really despise the poor. They might not admit it, but somehow the association of thinking that maybe it's because we know that could be us. Maybe in some ways that is us. But there's this internal conflict that goes on that wants to create a distance that feels uncomfortable. But somehow, I think that's what's so striking, is that in the midst of business success in your industry in Hawaii, God got a hold of you through Tom and changed your heart. So it's a miracle of a changed heart that I am amazed by, that maybe someone else would be amazed by it. How can that happen in someone else like it has happened in you? How could that happen in someone else?
Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can make that change. And it's not a change that everyone is going to minister to the homeless, but everyone has someone poor in their lives that they can minister to, whether, you know, it's a nephew in drugs. Every family has a family connected to drugs, or every family has an alcoholic in the family. And so, you know, you're right. It's not something that everyone just dreams of and saying, oh, I wish I could take care of my poor. But it is something that God wants. It is something on the heart of Jesus, because Jesus took care of the poor.
Jimmy, may I ask, so Diana and Lisa look up and Dad's down in front. Did they follow you? What was the process with certainly Diana and Sharon is involved in your ministry, your family? How did that unfold?
Hey, let's come back to answering that.
Let me answer quickly, slowly.
Yeah, and as we there you have it. We'll come back. We can open up a few more points of dialogue that could come as a result of that when we come back from our break. What does slowly mean? And what does slowly mean in the process of your transformation? What does slowly mean in the process of what you're hoping will be done in the life of someone else? Maybe you're agonized over slowly because you've been praying for a long time and nothing has happened. It seems, maybe it even seems like someone is going backwards and going further and farther away from the Lord. Slowly. How do you make sense of that in God's timetable? Thank you for asking that, Suzanne Maurer. But more back with more from Jimmy Amata, the author of God's Hand in the Life of a Pastor. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
The book is God's Hand in the Life of a Pastor by Jimmy Yamada Jr. You can access that book and get a hold of it at JimmyYamadaJr.com. If you live in Hawaii, Showers of Blessing and Logos Bookstore. But again, anywhere, from anywhere, JimmyYamadaJr.com. This is the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Suzanne Maurer and Jimmy Yamada Jr. with us today.
And Danny, is that Jr. written out or J-R period?
J-R.
Period?
JimmyYamadaJr.com.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for clarifying.
Thank you. So, Jimmy, you said the process was slowly. Can you explain that a little to us, please?
Yeah. God is the one that draws us to Jesus Christ. Only the Father can draw man to Jesus Christ, and He does it through the Holy Spirit. So, I came in June. Diana came to the Lord in December, and our kids came at some point after that. I forget the exact years, so it was a slow process. But for me, it was something that I had just left to God, because God is the one that does the work.
Yes.
Of, you know, salvation and as well as sanctification. So slowly for salvation and even slower for sanctification.
Mm-hmm. But now, where was prayer in all of this on your part?
I wasn't a baby Christian at that time.
Yes.
I didn't realize that I should be praying for their salvation. So I didn't really pray for them. However, God prompted me, and one day I was reading through the New Testaments, and I came to Revelations, and I said, "Hey, Dinah, 5, 6." You know the spooky parts. And I said, "Dinah, try to read this." Mm-hmm. So I read her, walked her through Revelations. "Hey, if you're not saved, look, this is what happens." The following week, she gave her life to Christ. So there's a place. But it's through God's word, right?
Yes.
So, it's, you know, you're right. I should have been praying, and now we would. But at that time, I didn't know about prayer yet, the
power
of prayer.
But there were probably others that were praying for sure.
People in my company were praying for me.
Yes.
And they told me afterwards.
Yes.
So they're praying for Diana too.
And it's so important for our listeners to realize that, as you said, salvation comes through Christ alone. He's the one that's going to bring us to salvation. But what we can do is guard against being anxious, guard against being forceful, but pray. Just go to the Father and pray for your loved ones and those that you want to know Him personally.
So what would you say to someone who has been praying? And it doesn't seem like, someone may say, it's not working.
I would say follow the instructions, the commands that Jesus gave. Love one another as I love you. By this, your loved ones will know that you are my disciples. So as long as they know, and who knows, but it's a test for us to love on them, even though they're living wretched, wicked lives. Maybe God is testing our faith, our love, will we hope in him? So I would say just keep on loving.
And I think about St. Francis of Assisi's wonderful quote, share Christ, share the good news 24/7, and if you absolutely have to, use words. And that's what you're saying. Love. Yeah. Let love be the avenue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jimmy, you write in your book that Americans affected by mental illness, you give some statistics, 1 in 4 adults, approximately 61.5 million Americans, experience mental illness in a given year. 1 in 17, about 13.6 million, live with a serious mental illness, such as schizophrenia, major depression, or bipolar disease. And then you go on, you say approximately 18.1% of American adults, 42 million, live with anxiety disorders, such as panic disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and other generalized anxiety disorders and phobias. You get it from NAMI.org, the facts sheet. You get your resources, the research from there. But, you know, how does all this relate to God frustrating America? You make a point about that in God's Hand in the Life of a Pastor.
Yeah, I believe that America is broken and America is bankrupt. But the cause of that is not the what I call the fools who say there is no God and are now running the company, running corporate America, running the nation. The cause are the Christians who, you know, God says, when I stop the heavens, stop the rain and cause famine and plagues to come across the land. Then he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So I think the problem that we have is that we have not turned from our wicked ways and prayed and seeked his face and humbled ourselves. So the Christians, I think, are partly to blame. God created America, and he made America great, I believe, just like he called Israel. And America is the greatest nation of all time, and we're supposed to reflect God and take care of our nation. And so if we look at the Constitution and the preamble to the Constitution, we're supposed to promote the general welfare, and we're supposed to take care of the people, and you know those kind. We're supposed to take care of posterity, but because we haven't, you have the nation kind of going crazy, going wacko, because of all the stress, and which actually God will work out for good.
So you call this, in your book, you talk about kicking a can. You call it the biggest kick, quote unquote, kick the can game ever relating to social programs. Jimmy, what do you mean by that?
Well, the people that are in charge, I'll call them, in my book, I call them the powers in control, government, treasury, Federal Reserve, the rich, the super rich, the powers in control who control everything happening today, to a certain extent, they say, let's take care of the poor. So they have, we're supposed to promote the general welfare. You know, in our Constitution, the preamble, we should promote the general welfare. So things should get better, but they haven't. And because instead of promoting the general welfare, they are giving out welfare checks. That's not the answer. So the people that don't have the wisdom from God cannot solve the problem of the poor. So it's for the Christians to reach out to their poor and take care of their poor. And if as a nation, we're a Christian nation to a large extent, maybe we have 60-70% Christians. if all of the Christians were to take care of their poor in the way that Jesus intended, there would really be no poor.
When you say their poor, draw a circumference around that.
I have five groups of poor. Whoever you know that God connects you with, whoever is your neighbor, who do you see? Who does God put in your mind? Who does God put in your dreams? Who does God connect you on the street? So who is your poor? If you have a child that's in college, that may be your poor. Don't go ragging on them and bussing them up and causing them to go use drugs, et cetera, right? So I think each person can take care of the poor that they're connected with, and that's what God intended.
Well said, Jimmy, as usual in your signature form. You know, one of the things I love about Jimmy Yamada is the way in which he's able to, in a disarming way, able to communicate some things that are, rather harsh in terms of the reality of the truth. Sometimes, hey, look, you know what? In life, sometimes things get a bit crude. Things are brutal because life is brutal. But the grace of the matter is that God, in his love for us, is right there in the middle of that brutality, whatever it might be happening inside of us. But here we are, considering those poor in our lives, within the circumference of our day-to-day lives. Jimmy Yamada speaks in that way, writes in that way, and he has communicated, as he typically does, in his book, God's Hand in the Life of a Pastor. And dear friend, today, as you've been able to hear him, it is our hope that you were truly moved and inspired and even motivated to make a difference in the lives of others near you. So we hope that you've been encouraged today by Jimmy Yamada Jr. And you can find out more at jimmyyamadajr.com. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. That's something we pray about. That's what we hope for. And go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. And to help us with your financial support, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Philippians 1:21 and 22, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Jimmy Yamada Jr. Find out more at jimmyyamadajr.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, and my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave.